Okay, we'll go ahead and get started with the afternoon session. Our first presentation is titled Annual Carbon Fluxes and Water Use Efficiency Among C3 and C4 Turf Grasses Under Deficit Irrigation, and the presenter is Ryan Nichols.
Good afternoon. First, I just want to, give a short little outline. What I'll start off with is an introduction, just to kind of establish the relevance and importance of our research. Go on to hypotheses, methods, materials, results, conclusions, and acknowledgments. So, obviously, climate change is a term we're very familiar with, and we're familiar with its implied implications. These data were all collected from NASA. And they have lots of data based on this, but what I wanted to highlight here is just basically the increase in CO2 concentration in the atmosphere. So as you see here currently, we're at about approximately 400 parts per million in the atmosphere. So, and also as we know, CO2 is the most abundant greenhouse gas, and so it's becoming increasingly more relevant and important to do research to document carbon flux, carbon fixation, and sequestration to try to reduce these levels in our atmosphere. And one of the best ways to sequester carbon, as we know, is through plants, through photosynthesis, just like these turf grasses here. So that's kind of what our research is based mostly on. The second issue is limiting resources. Coming from Southern California, and as many of you know, in the southwestern United States, water is an issue. We don't have a lot of water, and we're running out as populations increase. And so these figures here just kind of illustrate the projected issues of drought severity and decreases in soil moisture over time. So some of our hypotheses are carbon fixation and sequestration decrease with limiting water and nutrient inputs. There's a lot of data out there that basically state the same thing, but in a different way, that as we increase water and we increase nutrients in turf grasses, we get a higher carbon fixation and higher sequestration. So if we limit those things, we're probably going to see lower carbon fixation in those grasses. And then number two, that plants that exhibit a higher water use efficiency, and I'll go over that term a little bit later, will fix more carbon and use less water. So this is our experimental plot in Riverside, California. It's a beautiful day. It's not normally like that, but it's still sunny. So in our research plot, we actually have five different species of cool season grasses and two cultivars of tall fescue, six species of warm season grasses, with three of them being cultivars of Bermuda grass. Some of our methods and material, all the treatments were established, or the majority of the treatments were established by sod in 2008, and then a few additional ones were added in 2011. Mowing height ranged from 1.3 centimeters to 6.4 centimeters, depending on the recommendations for that particular species. And similarly, fertility also ranged from 98 to 195 kilograms of N per hectare per year, for basically based on the recommended rates for those particular species as well. The irrigation was deficit irrigation, as it said in the title. And the irrigation was, basically every treatment was hand irrigated. And the reason for that was to maintain the highest level of distribution uniformity. And we know that in turf, and especially irrigated fields, that irrigation distribution uniformity is a big issue. And so we wanted to kind of try to negate that. But deficit irrigation was basically based off of a percentage of historical crop coefficient figures. And so for cool season grasses, our crop coefficients during the months of May 2011 until present range from 0.7 to 0.95 for cool season and 0.5 to 0.75 for warm season grasses. This is a picture of our plots, obviously under some stress. This is what it looks like more often in Riverside, California. And now I'll go over a few things about data collection. It's pretty cumbersome, so I'll try to be concise and move through it quickly. I realize that not everyone's an ecologist nor a physiologist, and probably fewer are ecophysiologists. So some of these acronyms, I'll actually explain those in a simplified version in the next slide. So some of the measurements that were taken were obviously were monthly measurements, canopy temperature, soil temperature, and soil moisture content. But in 2009 through 2010, these measurements were taken of all the treatments under non-limiting conditions. And in 2011, actually in May of 2011, deficit irrigation was imposed on these grasses. And so what I'm going to be presenting today is basically 5 months of that of deficit irrigation data. So some of these terms, if we refer to our little figure here for if you need to, this is a little basic photosynthesis here. So one of the terms is gross ecosystem productivity, okay, so or GEP. And basically what that is, that's our combined carbon flux in photosynthesis and respiration. So the combined movement of total carbon, and all of these values are rate over a certain period of time, okay, per second. Net ecosystem exchange is basically your net photosynthesis. So the amount of carbon being taken in from the plant, not accounting for respiration. Evapotranspiration, ET, is obviously the total water loss. And then water use efficiency is your GEP over your ET. So the amount of carbon being fixed by the plant per unit of water lost. Okay, so that's pretty self-explanatory. So as we started our research, there was a few questions. As we continued on, there was even more questions. So I want to, you know, kind of address some of these questions with our results and kind of paint a picture of what we've been seeing. So one of the first questions is, does carbon fixation of C3 and C4 grasses change under deficit irrigation when compared to non-limiting conditions? Next question is, well, does water use efficiency change when you compare it to from deficit to non-limiting conditions? The third question is, what happens under long-term deficit irrigation conditions? What happens with the water use efficiency of these particular treatments or turf grasses? And then the fourth, what about short-term? What happens in the course of a day? Okay. So as you can see here for question one, if we look at this figure, I'll quickly explain it. It's obviously net ecosystem exchange, so NEE, which is your photosynthesis. Okay. And on our y-axis, we have NEE. And on our x-axis, we have the different cultivars. So on your left-hand side, we have the C3s, and the right-hand side, C4s. And I'll briefly go through these real quick. Creeping bent on your left-hand side, a blend of Kentucky bluegrass, perennial ryegrass, the tall fescue blend, fine fescue, tall fescues, and the first C4 is Azoicea, St. Augustine, Seashore, Paspalum. Three cultivars of Bermuda, buffalo grass, and Kikuyu. So as you look at this graph here, the blue is 2009, so non-limiting conditions, and the red is deficit irrigation, okay, during that five-month period. So what we see here is under non-limiting conditions, we actually are noticing that, or under deficit irrigation, we notice that the NEE values are actually higher. They're taking in more carbon than under non-limiting conditions, which is kind of interesting. All of this data was collected right after an irrigation event. So what we see here is that under deficit irrigation, turf grasses actually fix more carbon immediately after an irrigation event. But what gets more interesting is that as we look at water use efficiency for that same time period, okay, that we notice that under non-limiting conditions in 2009, the blue, that the water use efficiency was actually higher. But in the red, the water use efficiency was less, okay, was lower under deficit irrigation. So what we started to see is that, you know, turf grasses are not very much different than humans. In a recession, we still don't know how to spend our water or money, okay? So they're taking a lot of carbon in, but they're doing it at a very high price, okay? They're expending a lot of water. In this one here, we basically wanted to look at, okay, what happens over the long term. So in this figure here, we have on our x-axis, obviously, the species. Y-axis is the water use change. Okay, water use efficiency change. And so as we can see, most of the grasses actually have decreased in water use efficiency as they've been exposed to deficit irrigation for that five-month period. We have one that's actually increased, which is perennial ryegrass, the third from the left. We don't really know why that's happened yet, and as we continue to take more measurements, hopefully we'll be able to paint a better picture about that. It's possibly due to increased growth rates or possibly a leaf texture issue. This graph here, this is basically what we want to look at short term. Okay, so what we did here is we measured at 0 hours, right after irrigation, 2 hours, and 4 hours. So what we have here on the left, we have chaparral perennial ryegrass, which is a typical C3 grass. On the right, we have Tipway 419 Bermuda grass, which is one of your typical C4 grasses. Okay. So at 0 hours, after irrigation. Okay, we have measurements for canopy temperature of the turf grass and the ET rates and the water use efficiency. So as on the perennial ryegrass, as the temperature increases of the canopy, the ET rate increases, which is typical. And the water use efficiency decreases. So they're basically spending more water and taking in less carbon, okay, as the canopy temperature increases. But on the right-hand side, we see our C4 grass. The canopy temperature, as it increases, the ET does not necessarily increase. It actually starts to drop off. And as a direct relation, the water use efficiency, okay, does not necessarily decrease. It actually increases and then starts to plateau. And so what we like about this figure is that we actually can document and paint a good picture on how C3 and C4 grasses differ in comparison to water use efficiency and canopy temperature and ET. This is really exciting data because we haven't been able to really document that, although this is kind of an assumption of ours. So it's a good figure to really, you know, set down and you know, assure us of we think C4 grasses are more efficient than C3 grasses. And so this picture does, this figure is pretty good for that. So some of the conclusions. Originally in the hypotheses, we had stated that, you know, the water sufficiency or the carbon fixation would go down. But we see that actually after a deficit, after irrigation, an irrigation event, the fixation of nitrogen actually increased, okay? But those measurements were taken directly after irrigation. So we don't know exactly at this time if overall the carbon fixation actually increases or decreases. But we are taking other measurements, and at the end of the season we'll analyze those. Analyze the carbon concentration in the soil and then also in the leaf organic material. But we did notice that under deficit irrigation, the water use efficiency did decrease. And so But our assumption is that with less water use efficiency, we will see less carbon fixation overall. So where is our study going now? In the beginning, we thought it was going to be clear cut, that there was going to be one winner and there's going to be one loser. What we've realized is that it's not always necessarily the case. And there's a lot of things that affect water use efficiency and carbon fixation of these plants. It's a really dynamic relationship between these different values. And as we continue to take measurements and as we continue to subject them to deficit irrigation, we hope to paint a better picture on how these grasses differ and what are the mechanisms that drive these forces of carbon fixation and water use efficiency. And I just want to acknowledge the United States Golf Association for their support and the California Turf and Landscape Foundation. And thank you. If there's any questions, I'll take those at this time. Yes.
You're using instantaneous gas exchange.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Have you thought about more long-term measures of water use efficiency, like C13 discrimination?
Actually, the question was, we're using the measurements we're taking is actually an immediate water use efficiency rate. Okay. And the question was, are we going to be using a C13 or a long-term water use efficiency? Or trying to determine that through carbon isotope discrimination. Is that correct? At this time, we have not considered using that. We are using, but we will, as we continue to take data and take those samples, if we see some correlations here and there, we'll start to analyze the data a little bit differently, possibly using different methods as well. Any other questions?